Wieso wird Griechenland plötzlich zum Energieexporteur? Warum wird die Ukraine ab sofort aus dem Süden Europas stabil mit Energie versorgt? Und wieso übernimmt Griechenland künftig eine Aufgabe von Deutschland? Um diese Fragen und noch vieles mehr soll es heute gehen bei Yassas Adenauer, dem Podcast für Griechenland und die Region. Und damit ein herzliches Willkommen hier aus Athen. Mein Name ist Marian Wendt und ich leite das Büro der Konrad-Adenauer-Stiftung für Griechenland und Zypern. Ereignisreiche Wochen haben wir hinter uns hier in Griechenland und der Region, gerade wenn es zum Thema Energie geht. Wir hatten eine große Energiekonferenz mit 3 US-Ministern, die hier präsent waren. Wir haben verschiedene Abkommen unterzeichnet, nicht wir, sondern die Regierung und die entsprechenden Firmen natürlich, aus dem Bereich Energie, das heißt Flüssiggas, Solar, aber auch Pipelinebau. Und der ukrainische Präsident Selenskyj war vor einer Woche hier in Athen, um auch Gaslieferverträge zu unterschreiben, die von Griechenland aus bedient werden. Also das Thema Energie ist hier in aller Munde. Griechenland wird der Energielieferant für die Region und deswegen haben wir das zum Schwerpunkt heute bei Yassas Adenauer. Dazu spreche ich im Interview mit Agis Dikas. Er ist einer der führenden Energieexperten hier in Griechenland und der Region. Davor aber, wie immer, erstmal der Nachrichtenüberblick mit der Olga. Euch viel Freude bei unserer 42. Ausgabe von Yassas Adenauer, dem Podcast für Griechenland und die Region.
Athen plant neue Behörde für Marktaufsicht und Verbraucherschutz. In Griechenland hat die Regierung in dieser Woche einen Gesetzentwurf zur Einrichtung einer neuen unabhängigen Markt- und Verbraucherschutzbehörde ins Parlament eingebracht. Die neue Struktur soll alle bestehenden Kontrollmechanismen bündeln, darunter auch den Verbraucherschutz, Ombudsmann und so für mehr Effizienz und klare Zuständigkeiten sorgen. Ziel ist es, Marktaufsicht und Verbraucherschutz unter einem Dach zu stärken, etwa bei der Kontrolle von Preisen für Fischwaren und andere sensiblen Produkten. Gleichzeitig sieht der Entwurf eine Aufwertung der Wettbewerbsbehörde vor. Sie soll mehr Befugnisse in der Fusionskontrolle erhalten und verstärkt moderne digitale Instrumente einsetzen können, um Marktverzerrungen schneller aufzuspüren und zu bekämpfen. Mehr Schutz für Minderjährige beim Alkohol- und Tabakverkauf. Die griechische Regierung stellt am Mittwoch im Maximo-Palast 3 neue digitale Werkzeuge vor, die die Kontrollen beim Verkauf von Alkohol und Tabak an Minderjährige stärken sollen. Dazu gehören ein Register für private Veranstaltungen mit minderjährigen Teilnehmern, eine landesweite Erfassung aller Verkaufsstellen sowie ein neues System zur digitalen Altersverifikation. Der Premierminister und die zuständigen Minister betonten, dass diese digitalen Lösungen strengere und schnellere Kontrollen ermöglichen und so den Schutz der Kinder verbessern werden.
Und das waren die Nachrichten mit der Olga. Ja, das Thema der letzten Wochen hier in Griechenland und im östlichen Mittelmeer, es war das Thema der Energie. Griechenland wird zur Energiedrehscheibe Europas und des gesamten östlichen Mittelmeers. Binnen 5 Jahren hat es die Regierung geschafft, Griechenland vom Energieimporteur zum Energieexporteur zu entwickeln. Ich habe mich deswegen die Woche zusammengeschaltet mit Dr. Agis Dikas. Er ist Energieexperte, er arbeitet an der hiesigen Universität, er forscht und er ist auf vielen Konferenzen zusammen, um alles rund um das Thema Energie in Griechenland zu erklären. Das Gespräch, das hört ihr jetzt und viel Freude und gute Gedanken dabei. Good morning, Agis, how are you?
Good morning, Mr. Van. Thank you so much for having me in your podcast.
Thank you. Agis, first of all, could you start please giving us a brief overview where Greece stands today in comparison to other European countries, especially of our question of gas infrastructure, gas networks, the hydrogen question. So just a general overview about what is going on in Greece, why we see now, today, in the last weeks, all these news, energy hub, LNG network, pipelines from the East Med, Eastern Inter-Asia Connector. So what's the strategy behind it?
Perfect. So we are all aware that for the last few years, we are experiencing a very intense crisis due to the Russian-Ukrainian war. And this has changed a lot how the system and the energy actors operate within the framework. For start, Greece is very well placed in a geographical place that can give help to Southeastern European countries. Greece has an extensive pipeline network of more than 1,500 kilometers. And also the crown jewel of the Greek gas infrastructure is the LNG terminal in Revithoussa, which is a critical infrastructure, especially in these days that we live in, where we see that the energy supply of Europe coming from Russia is almost ended for the most part. And now we see the pipeline network operating in a different way. We in Greece, for example, we were used to import hydrogen from northern countries, from Russia, Ukraine, Moldova, Romania, Bulgaria, and then to Greece. And now we experience a shift in these flows where Greece starts to provide gas to Southeastern European countries like Bulgaria. In the last year, we had exports, which is a phenomenal change for Greece. And also nowadays we have this new vertical corridor, which is a pipeline system of existing infrastructure that we used to import Russian hydrogen. Now it's utilized to provide gas from diversified suppliers such as the US, Qatar and the Middle East countries. And this gives an extra advantage and flexibility for European Union. So this was one of the major changes that Greece wants to play an important role. And as we see it from the latest advances in the news, the demand for gas and especially LNG is there, and Greece wants to become an energy hub. It already is, in my point of view, as it provides diversified gas quantities to neighboring countries. But this can be even more elaborated and become an important chain in the value chain of the gas in the region. Also, Greece wants to become the first green energy exporter by providing green energy. Greece has very good potential in terms of renewable energy, solar and wind, but also in the mid to long term with hydrogen too. We have seen that the Greek gas TSO, DESFA, is also promoting, apart from the vertical corridor and other gas infrastructures, we are seeing that they have a very good strategy in terms of hydrogen in the area. They have two pipelines promoting on a European level for the connection of Greece with Bulgaria and Greece with Italy, which is a major change also for the mid to long term. So this is a rough background of the major insights in the area, and I will be more than glad to elaborate more on these key topics.
One question is behind all of this, especially 3 weeks after the TPEC conference, that was a big energy conference, so to say. Why would you say, or what's the reason why the US is very engaged, very strong in this topic? Because all of these investments, all this change in the infrastructure, using the pipelines now, transporting gas from south to the north and not from north to the south anymore, all these investments take place now, especially by US-led, by the US government and US-supported. How does it come that the US presence is so strong in this field in the East Mediterranean, and maybe why Europe is so absent and not present?
So I'm pretty sure that everyone knows that European Union as a continent is a continent that lacks energy resources. I mean, in Germany, you know it even more than us. And this is a critical issue in terms of how you understand your place in the world energy system. At the same time, shale oil and gas, which is a specific type of oil and gas, has been booming in the US in the last decade. this was a game changer because the US became an energy exporter, I believe, since 70 years ago, 50 to 70 years. So this was a major shift in the global system, as US could not only provide gas quantities for their own consumption domestically, but also export to other countries and rearrange the global system in terms of how energy supply routes are being implemented. As we all know, the LNG capacity that the US has is of major quantities, and we are experiencing many US companies to closing deals all around Europe. After the Russian-Ukrainian crisis, US became one of the major importers of gas, along with Azerbaijan and other countries in the region, like Middle East and Norway. But US has the advantage of the LNG supply and the shipping routes, because the LNG provides flexibility when you contrast it with the gas pipelines, which is a fixed infrastructure that operates 24/7. But if you have a disruption in the energy supply route, it can become like a bottleneck, as we see it in Ukraine. So one of the major things that we have to keep in mind is that the new energy strategy of the US has changed a lot in the last decade, and they want to provide energy security to the European Union in these times of crisis. At the same time, Middle East is a choke point in the global system, as we see it nowadays. The war was devastating, and the supply routes, even though they were not drastically disrupted, everyone was really afraid that these routes would not be able to provide the quantities that everyone wanted. I say again that they were pretty flexible, but at the same time, a war is not an easy issue in this area. So the US want to find alternative routes to reach the European countries in terms of gas supply. The LNG terminal of Revithoussa, along with Alexandroupolis LNG terminal, gives a strategic advantage to Greece to have multiple slots available for LNG ships, LNG carriers. This is why the US has a strong presence and desirability to cooperate with Greece and other European countries to provide this gas also from this route. So in terms of European Union, we all know that European Union has very big advantages in terms of internal cohesion cooperation, but at the same time, this may become a struggle in times of crisis. You have to adapt fast in a fast-paced environment. And this maybe will be the major issue for European Union. I strongly believe that most of the European Union countries, like Germany and others, have a very good understanding of how the game is played. The only issue is that we delay in making decisions. And democracy was a big issue in Europe, at least from the beginning of the European Union. But at the same time, when you have to take quick decisions, you must not lack in terms of democratic decision making, but at the same time, you have to take this decision fast. So my understanding is that the way that the European Union operates in times of crisis must be thinked again, and new procedures must be put in place in order to tackle this issue.
I think this is a well-known problem of the European Union and our discussions sometimes, that we are good ideas, but sometimes too slow. I think you can agree. So if I may wrap up this, your answer is the US has been very strong and very present in the LNG field since the last decades, 10, 20 years. And so we have a kind of positive agenda. They know what they do. We have the technique, we have the infrastructure, they have the investors behind it. So that means in the end that nowadays, especially after the agreement for the gas deal between Greece and Ukraine from last Sunday, that we can describe now that we can describe nowadays Greece as a potential new entry point for Europe energy supply. And maybe we also could say a little bit, yeah, that Germany has lost this entry point because of the destroyed gas pipelines in the Baltic Sea. To what extent is it first accurate, and what are the main risks and opportunities with such a position that Greece will become this important? And how would you describe Greece itself sees its position for this new entry point for energy in the European Union?
So one key term that I want all of your viewers to keep in mind is that energy security has a cost. If you want to be flexible and to have diversified routes supplying you gas, this will be most of the time not so much of cost competitive to gas pipelines. We have seen that Germany, especially through Nord Stream 1 and 2, had a pretty stable gas supply from Russia and at a very low price. But at the same time, this did not give flexibility to the system, because if you have a fixed asset like a pipeline, it can deliver you cost-efficient gas. But at the same time, if you lose this pipeline, this can be devastating for the country. So one thing that all European countries must keep in mind, and Greece wants to also to play part in this, is that flexibility may have a cost, but in terms of crisis is the best option and solution. And for a continent that lacks energy resources, to have diversification of supply is a critical issue. But also we must be educated that diversification of flexibility has a cost. My understanding is that the LNG gas can be this flexible energy carrier that Europe needs, but probably it will be costly to other options. So European Union must find a way to have enough energy resources imported from other countries, even at a higher cost sometimes, but also try to solve the internal problem with renewable energy. We see that in many countries, the electricity prices are quite high due to the intermittency of renewable energy and the high cost of gas in some cases. But mechanisms should be implemented in order to solve this issue. So we have to keep an eye on the imports, and also the other eye to the domestic production and consumption of renewable energy, and to make it more efficient as a value chain. Now, Greece, as I mentioned earlier, has two major roles to play. One is the importer of gas from multiple suppliers, namely US is the most important one, but also countries of the Middle East like Egypt. We have seen very good cooperation both with Greece, Cyprus, and Egypt on the energy affairs, and also with Qatar and other LNG providers. So this is one of the most important roles that Greece has to play in the region. And this goes directly in contrast with what Turkey wants to achieve. We've seen that the Turkey want to become also a gas hub, but the energy supply from Russia is creating a lot of tensions and problem in terms of this part of the world. They have connections with Russia, and if you have Russian gas into your system, can be lose its origin in terms of tracking from where you buy this gas. So we must be very cautious from gas entering into the Turkish system through Russia. And this is also a key point to remember about the Greek supply route. And my opinion is that we also mentioned earlier the green energy hype. Greece has very good potential in terms of renewable energy and can provide in the short term green energy through electricity, and in the mid to long term hydrogen. We have to see how this market will evolve. But the strategy is there. We have first to overcome the difficulties of the two main choke points, the Russian-Ukrainian war and the Middle East war, and then try to solve the green energy issue that we have to face in the recent years.
Diagis, thank you very much for this big picture of the energy hub, of the energy situation, and also of the challenges which are, of course, ahead of us. I thank you very much for being in this podcast, for this interview, and I hope we see us and hear us again on this topic, because I guess it's a future topic for development of Greece, and it's a topic where our region, where we live, can have a positive outcome for the whole of Europe and can strengthen our sovereignty and, of course, also our energy security.
Thank you so much for having me, Mr. Vent, and I have to congratulate you for the excellent work that you do on these issues in Greece and beyond. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Diagis. Und wir machen jetzt mit dem zweiten Teil der Nachrichten und der Olga weiter.
Athen prüft Beitrag zur Stabilisierung des Gazastreifens. Nach der Annahme der UN-Resolution 2803 in dieser Woche zur Waffenruhe im Gazastreifen unterstützt Griechenland die US-Initiative für die nächsten Schritte in der Region. Athen beteiligt sich bereits an der humanitären Hilfe und am zivil-militärischen Koordinierungszentrum vor Ort. Die Regierung verkündete die sorgfältige Prüfung für eine mögliche Beteiligung an einer internationalen Stabilisierungsmission, macht jedoch klar, dass dafür ein eindeutiges UN-Mandat Voraussetzung ist. Parallel dazu bereitet sich Griechenland darauf vor, in der späteren Wiederaufbauphase Verantwortung zu übernehmen, während es die politischen Entwicklungen innerhalb der palästinensischen Führung genau beobachtet. Neuer Energiehub. Griechenland stärkt ukrainische Versorgungssicherheit. Die Ukraine hat sich für den Winter 25/26 größere Mengen an US-Flüssiggas über Griechenland gesichert. Grundlage ist ein Abkommen zwischen der griechischen DEPA und dem ukrainischen Energieunternehmen Naftogaz, das während des Besuchs von Präsident Zelensky in Athen am letzten Sonntag geschlossen wurde. Die Lieferungen sollen ab Dezember über griechische Terminals erfolgen und stärken sowohl die Energieversorgung der Ukraine als auch die europäische Unabhängigkeit von russischem Gas. Gleichzeitig sprachen Mitsotakis und Zelensky über den Ausbau des vertikalen Energiekorridors und eine mögliche Anbindung von Alexandroupolis an Odessa. Beide Seiten wollen zudem ihre Zusammenarbeit in Verteidigung, Sicherheit und Cyberschutz weiter vertiefen.
Und das war Yassas Adenauer für heute und diesmal. Ich bedanke mich ganz herzlich bei unserem heutigen Gesprächspartner Dr. Agis Digas für alle Fragen, die er mir zum Thema Energie beantwortet hat. Ich freue mich, wenn euch diese Folge gefallen hat und ihr dann unseren Podcast abonniert und uns mit einer Bewertung unterstützt. Habt ihr Themenwünsche oder Hinweise, schreibt wie immer gerne an yassasadenauer@kass.de, Yassas mit einem S. Die Adresse findet ihr auch in den Shownotes. Ein Dank geht diesmal und auch wie immer an unsere Redaktion Vassilis Karidas Infantis, an die Produktion Studio Schumann in Leipzig und unsere Nachrichtensprecherin Olga Zuzuko. Wir hören uns nächste Woche mit einer Sonderfolge wieder. Worum es darum geht, das verrate ich noch nicht, aber es hat auch etwas mit den Entwicklungen zwischen Deutschland und Griechenland auf jeden Fall zu tun, denn da gibt es einiges Berichtenswertes. Also eine Folge, Sonderfolge in einer Woche, bleibt dran und für diesen Moment verbleibe ich erstmal mit den besten Grüßen. Alles Gute, Yassas hier aus Athen, euer Marian Wendt.